to we get into the service. But thank you, Mon, for this. This is called Silver Sea.
Outside, the rain is softly falling. In the distance, I can hear a foghorn sound. I pull my blankets just a little closer. My mind is on a ship that's outward bound. On the voyage through a memory, sailing on the silver sea, the moon, the stars above now brightly shine. The wind that fills the sails is a lullaby that tells the tale of all the things that I was glad to leave behind. The ocean has always been a part of me. I can feel the salt water running through my veins. I think of all the places where my ship will take me. But the thought of your gentle whispers gives me strength. On the voyage through a memory, sailing on the silver sea, the moon, the stars above now brightly shine. The wind that fills the sail is a lullaby that tells the tale of all the things that I was glad to leave behind. When I rise, look up my little window. A wall of gray is right before my eyes. I can see a clock where time is slowly ticking. How I wish that I could make this time here fly. On the voyage through a memory, sailing on the silver sea, the moon, the stars above now brightly shine. The wind that fills the sails is a lullaby that tells the tale of all the things that I was glad to leave behind. On the voyage through a memory, sailing on a silver sea, the moon and the stars above now brightly shine. The wind that fills the sails is a lullaby that tells the tale of all the things that I was glad to leave behind. The wind that fills the sails is a lullaby that tells the tale of all the things that I was glad to leave behind.
Thank you, Amon. That's wonderful. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for worshiping with us today. The service today is led by the ministry and personnel team, and by Trinity staff. We acknowledge that the land on which we gather is unceded Mi'kmaq territory, Abaguet, Prince Edward Island, is covered by the historic Treaties of Peace and Friendship. We pay our respects to the Indigenous Mi'kmaq people who have occupied this island for over 12,000 years, past, present, and future. Let us prepare for worship. Please join us in the call to worship. Around us, we witness sadness, conflict, and distress. Around us, we witness the damage caused by wildfires, economical upheaval, poverty, food insecurity.
Our prayers are put into action by working for a better world.
This light reminds us that we follow the one who gave everything so that we all might have abundant life.
May it be brightly each and every day through us and the world. Amen.
If you would join me, please, in the call to worship. Responsibly, please. While our world is a storm of trouble and grief, in worship, we find a time of calm and renewal. We seek the courage of God's word,
planted deep in our hearts.
Let us slow down in order to receive God's truth for us. We seek the comfort of God's grace, refreshing our souls. Let us reflect and remember God's promise to us. Seek the compassion of God's love, nourishing our lives. Let us share with those around us, reminding all of God's blessing for us in the midst of the storms of life. Amen. And please join us in the next hymn, please, in our Voices United, 577, I've Got Peace Like a River.
I touch peace like a river in my soul.
our gathering prayer. Ever welcoming God, we gather in this place of sanctuary so that we might find rest and renewal. Help us to bathe in your grace and soak in your peace. In the helter-skelter of life, we yearn for calm in the midst of storms. May each breath we take fill us with deep stillness and abiding gentleness. Help us to cast aside judgmentalism. Empower us to let go of rigidity of thought so that we might be open to your holy mystery as we ride the waves of our lives. When we find it difficult to accept realities that are around us, grant us tenderness of being so that we might be malleable. Let our very being be shaped into your image. We pray in the name of one who walked across stormy waters as we sing the words that Jesus taught us.
Good morning, bonjour. Well, first of all, let me sound my foghorn. And secondly, I certainly do not want to profess to be a better sailor or navigator or seaman or anything like that better than anyone. There certainly are countless stories of individuals out there and people we know that have many stories to tell about their experiences on the water. I was asked to do that. As most of you know, I am a sailor. And being born and raised on an island, I am sure we all know of someone, a parent, a cousin, a neighbor, etc., who have been on the water or are on the water either to make a living or recreationally. And I think of a couple of people in this crowd. I don't see her, Donna McCarthy, for example, who usually is here. Her husband, her family certainly would have stories to tell. George, Winnie Sheen, and I see some friends from Shediac who are here. Gilles and Suzanne, who have sailed from Shediac on their sailboat and arrived yesterday, and I just happened to bump into them. I told them about our service, and here they are. Welcome. Bienvenue. So I've been asked to recount a few of my stories on the water, were not that I was fearing for my safety along with the safety of my passengers, but moments for one reason or another, you ask for safe passage to someone, anyone, your higher power, to the sea gods, that you will safely arrive to your home port. And as someone described to me before, sailing is 90% pure bliss and 10% sheer terror. So, but I can recall two instances where I felt this way. So I'm just going to try to project that to you as much as I can, and hopefully I'll be brief. So one day, returning from Charlottetown, we left Charlottetown at 7 a.m., And the Northumberland Strait can be a vicious body of water. When the tides turn, when the winds turn against you, it's a shallow body of water. The seas are steep and short. So we were returning from Charlottetown and hoping to be in Summerside by mid-afternoon. But by 2 p.m., I'd say, we were maybe 3 or 4 nautical miles from the bridge, under the bridge, and that's the narrowest part of the strait. And of course, things turned against us. So we pounded into the seas, and we were sailing toward New Brunswick, coming back to PEI, and we were pounding into the seas. And not that we were scared, but we were a bit concerned in how long this would last. Then we saw 2 sails following the shore of Prince Edward Island, and we managed to contact them on radio, and there were 2 boaters that were heading to Summerside, and they were much, much more in protected water because the winds were from the north, northeast, so along the Prince Edward Island side of things, you were in the lee of the land. So we scooted down on that side, and we crossed under the bridge around 7 p.m., so 4 or 5 hours trying to make headway. Gilles, you would have motored, I know. So anyway, we arrived in Summerside. It was great to see the lighthouse at Sea Cow Head and then at Indian Head, signaling the entry to our harbor and to Summerside and safe refuge from the weather. So it was 10:30, 11 when we pulled in. Another time was going to the Bredour Lakes and leaving Ballantyne's Cove. It's a small fishing port at the tip of Cape George before you get to the Canso Locks. So we had overnighted a couple of days in Ballantyne's Cove, heading out towards Canso, which would have been a 3-4 hour run. And you're out in the Gulf. You're out in the Gulf over there. The weather, we were 3 boats. The weather kind of turned. And our two smaller boats, myself and another fellow sailor, we turned around. We weren't feeling comfortable at all. It was getting quite steep, 5-6 foot waves. So the bigger boat, 34 footer or so, I won't tell you who it is because people might be familiar with them, but they continued on, but they decided to turn around. And when they turned, the lady was down below doing something. He was at the wheel. They got caught in a trough between a wave, and the boat was forced over. It didn't capsize, but he tells us that the mast, the spreaders on the mast came very close to touching the water. And down below, everything fell. Whatever was not latched down, cupboards that were not latched closed, pots and pans, dishes, everything, from on the floor and everything. So they made it back to Ballantyne's Cove. We were there to catch their lines, and it was howling a gale when they tied up. So, and then we stayed there for another day because it was just the same weather conditions the next day. So those are a couple of things. And again, I profess not to be, I'm sure you've heard of stories, and you just deal with it. In closing, I would like to thank Louise and the Ministry Personnel Committee and everybody who's here making this possible and who's involved in giving me the opportunity to sharing a few of my stories. Thank you very much and have a great day. Merci beaucoup. Oh, I guess there was something that I was supposed to cue you on back there in the sound booth. You can put it on now, I suppose. Thanks to Louise who took these pictures here not too long ago. Thank you.
I think you need to stand for this one. Tadagansi, and you'll be looking for your lighthouse all through it. Where do I start? Are you set? Come on.
Jesus walks on the water. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Hello, everyone. My name is Leah, and I will be doing a message today. My message is a personal reflection and testimony to my faith in God. Where do I get my faith in God? I believe it's like the old hymn, "Faith in My Father's Faith." Faith in my Father's, we will love both friend and foe in all our strife, and preach thee too as love knows how, by kindly words and virtuous life. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Both my father and grandfather were Orangemen, and that hymn was sung at many church services where Orangemen met. I often heard it as my father was a black knight in the Orange Lodge. My grandfather, Henry David, as everyone knew him, lived in Victoria West, and among other things, he was a blacksmith. His cousin, in a book she wrote about ancestors, wrote, "This red-headed cousin was a character. He was a talker, a storyteller, and a little stretching of the truth was quite acceptable as long as it made the circumstances more interesting. But he was also known as an unlucky man. For instance, on one occasion, he and my grandmother were visiting relatives. On the way home, the horse just dropped dead right in the middle of the road. And when my father was 12, their house burnt to the ground, and they had to rebuild. Regardless, my grandfather never lost faith in God. He was an avid reader, and the Bible was the one book he read often. On a side note, this story I'm about to tell you always amazes me. My grandfather went to the woods to cut trees for lumber to rebuild the house. Unfortunately, a branch caught him on the temple. He staggered out of the woods, got into the sleigh, and headed home. He was bleeding badly when he got home, and my grandmother told my father to fetch the horse and drive to Tyne Valley to get the doctor. My father ran from the house, and on this lonely road, in the middle of the winter, he could see a horse and sleigh coming down the road. That was a miracle in itself. My father ran to the road and explained to the driver that his father was bleeding badly and needed some help. The gentleman ran into the house and, being a war medic, was able to stop the bleeding and very well may have saved my grandfather's life. This begs an answer to yes, to the question, do miracles happen in this day and age? Did my father have faith and trust in God, the trust and faith that my grandfather had? Absolutely. He sure did. My father, like his father, was a diligent Bible reader, and he knew the Bible inside out. He lived his faith. He believed in praying and worshiping God. Many nights, as I was dozing off to sleep, I could hear my father saying his nightly prayers with my mother. And we always, I mean always, said grace before we ate. Going to church each Sunday was a given. Learning about God was important to my father. He taught Sunday school in Victoria West as a young man. And when he married and moved to Wellington, he was a Sunday school superintendent for many years. He believed in supporting the church and its work. For instance, he was recording steward at the Wellington Church for over 30 years. Since we lived next door to the manse, he was usually the first person to be called on when there was an issue. He faithfully served. My father was a quiet, humble man that loved and trusted God. He shared his love of God and his faith with others, especially his family, including myself. Do I have the faith and trust in God that my father and my grandfather had? Absolutely. I believe that God is with me all the time, both in the good times and the bad times. Sometimes it's hard to remember that God is with us. When I lived in Poplar Grove with my alcoholic husband, I had some rough days. In today's service, we compare difficult times to being adrift at sea as the winds rise, the waves swell, and we are hanging on for dear life, and we fear that we may never reach shore. For some days, weeks, months, and years, I would wake feeling adrift and fearing what might come next. On school days, once the children were off on the bus, I would travel to Alberton to work. Many a day, I would see something I believed was a message from God to help me through the day. I might see a rabbit. I might see a partridge on the side of the road. And then in that moment, I would remember that God was with me. I would silently whisper a prayer. Thank you, God, for being with me. Another day that God would watch over me. When I took in my great-grandchildren to live with me a couple of years ago, at that time the boys were ages 9, 8, 7, and 5. I knew this was something I was meant to do. I knew it would be a challenge, but I also knew that God would be with me. I didn't know what I know now, that the folks at Trinity would be the best, would support me so wonderfully, would embrace the children, and make them so loved and welcomed in this church. For that, my many, many thanks. And things worked out. Thanks be to God. The children are back living with their mother, and they visit with me often. And I'm still praying to God. On Thursday, while in the grocery store with the four boys, all hungry, restless, some trying out their karate moves, I whispered my prayer, "Dear God, give me patience." But truly, I am blessed. I am blessed to have them in my life. I am blessed by the love and strength God gives me and by the faith passed down through my grandfather and my father. The assurance that no matter what happens, God is always with me. I love the new creed. I especially love the ending. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name, keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. where feet may fail and fear surrounds me. You've never failed, and you won't start now. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, you are
I have a short mission and service reading. From the very beginning, the heart of mission and service has been and still is the compassion to care for others, to build peace, and to support communities. For decades, through changing times and shifting needs, mission and service has connected us to one another across the miles and has strengthened our call to live out God's love in tangible, meaningful ways. Gifts to mission and service support a wide range of programs, from food security and emergency response to education and global partnerships, to right relations and anti-racism work. Every gift matters. Every act of generosity plants seeds of hope and love. We know that together we can do more than we can ever do alone. With your support, mission and service will continue to grow, nurturing life, justice, and compassion for generations to come. Thank you for the way you continue to compassionately step forward through mission and service. Thank you to the ministry and personnel team and Trinity staff for providing today's service. A special thank you to Louise for her guidance in developing the service and for her music. Thank you to the choir, Malcolm, Harrison, Caden, and any and all folks who participated in the service. Next Sunday, August 23rd, the church service will be led by Reverend Elaine Palmer Harding with Louise Elder as director of music. There will be a congregational meeting for Trinity United Church on Sunday, August 30th, following the in-person worship. The congregational meeting is called to share the community of faith profile, including a position description for a new minister, to thank the Community of Faith Profile Team, and to share next steps and to appoint a search committee. The Community of Faith Profile and Meeting Agenda will be available next Sunday, August 23rd, at each entrance and on our website, trinitysummerside.ca. Thank you for the Community of Faith for giving your time, talent, and treasures for the work of the Church. For additional information on the life and work of Trinity United Church, please see the bulletin or the summer newsletter, which can be found at each entrance or on our website, summerside trinitysummerside.ca. As the offering plate comes forward, to those who are able, please let us stand and offer our blessing of time, travel, and treasure.
Breath of life, in your wisdom, grant us knowledge and grace. Fill all peoples with the Spirit. Guide us all into forgiveness of one another, of institutions, of ourselves. Help us to find the peace and healing that you want for us in the quiet moments, in the majesty of nature, among friends and enemies alike. Bring us closer to you that we may reach out. Bring your strength to those who would wield it to create your kingdom, but who are getting tired. Bring your love to those who would nurture and support others, but who are depleted. Bring your joy to those who are in the depths of grief and sorrow. Bring your blessing to the attention of those who feel the void of emptiness. Bring the gifts of the Spirit to the attention of those who do not recognize them. Through you, all things are possible. Lend us your strength to create unity. Now, let us pray together for each other and for each one in our community and beyond, who needs support as we hold them in our hearts and lift them up to you.
All this we pray together in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Please join us in our closing hymn, Voices United 675, Will Your Anchor Hold? Our service of praise and thanks is ending. Our lives of love and service continue. From here, go united. Go from here uplifted. Go from here with compassion and concern. Go from here embracing deep spirituality, bold discipleship, and daring justice. Go into the world to follow Jesus and live with love.